Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, Birmingham, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned. It could be the most important 30 minutes of your life. Our show, as always, is about motivation, inspiration, and education. And you know, we do it without any manipulation. That means we do not have a hidden agenda. We are not crusading in some crusade about something. It's just simply a show that would help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. Yes, it's a show about the Bible. Yes, we do discuss the Word of God in a down-to-earth, practical way, but there is some depth to this show. This show is about learning and applying information to your life. That's why I say verify and identify. We are able to verify God's plan for your life and identify that plan so that you can then orient and adjust. Are you willing to do that? That's the $64,000 question. Are you willing to orient and then adjust? If you've listened to our show for any length of time, you know we're running into 40-plus weeks, going on nearly a year that we've been on WERC, 960 AM on your dial. We also have some other radio shows that are running concurrently with this one, and they are different shows. They're not the same show. But I also host a show in Jackson, Mississippi, a show in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and we are negotiating for the Gulf Coast and Gulfport in the Biloxi area. I would certainly appreciate your prayers that the Lord would continue to open those doors and give me success as we teach the Word of God in those areas. If this is your first time to tune into this radio show, my name is Rick Hughes. I am from the Birmingham area. I grew up here. I grew up in what used to be called Central City, downtown Birmingham, between Phillips High School and Powell Grammar School. That's down around 8th Avenue North, 7th Avenue North, 6th Avenue North, in that area. That was where I grew up, and eventually I moved out of that area and lived in federal housing projects there. But I moved out of that area, moved into the Woodlawn area, went to Woodlawn High School, played football, involved in track and field, eventually signed a football scholarship to the University of Alabama. And I was at Alabama in 1964 when Alabama won the national championship. I was a freshman on that team. I often tell students as I speak in schools around the country that bad decisions limit future options. One of the worst decisions anyone could ever make was the decision that I made, and that's to drop out of school, to walk away from a free education. But I did not stay at Alabama. We have a man on this radio station, Paul Feinbaum, that talks a lot about Alabama football. And he often talks about a lot of the legends of Alabama football. Well, I guess I was a legend in my own mind, but not in my own time. I had all the ability, everything going for me, but I never stuck it out. And after 1 year at Alabama, I walked away from that scholarship and got involved in a frantic search for happiness. That led me to a life of despair and a life of frustration. And eventually, because of a young lady who dated me and took me to church, I heard about Jesus Christ, God's wonderful Son, and that He died for me, that He took my place on the cross, that He paid for my sin. And it made sense to me. I had never been against God. I was not an agnostic, and I was not an atheist. I just simply never took the time to get to know God. And that night, after church, at a Bible study with this young lady, I heard that Jesus Christ loved me, and that if I would believe in Him and receive Him as my Savior, I could have a new life in Christ. That was the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. That was back in August of 1967, and it was indeed the night my life changed forever. I never knew what was going to happen as a result of that simple decision. But God took that decision of faith that I made, simply faith, because that's what the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. He took that decision and turned my life around. And as I began to study and grow and learn the provisions and the principles found in the Bible, my life took on a whole new meaning, a whole new direction, a new agenda. And now, for the last, I guess since 1967, we're coming up on the year 2007. I can't count that many years, how many years it's been. It's scary. But I have been so privileged to have the opportunity to talk to thousands and thousands and thousands of students across the United States of America about how Jesus Christ changed my life and would do it for them also if they would let him. I never preach at kids. That's not my agenda at all. Matter of fact, I tell them when I go into their schools, I'm not here to change you. I'm here to give you accurate information. If there are changes to be made, that's between you and God. And I definitely feel that way about this radio show as well. I'm here to give accurate information, not preach at you and not belittle you. I don't have a crusade. I don't have a campaign. I'm not asking for money. I'm not trying to sell anything. I'm simply on this radio show by faith, believing that God will use it and giving out accurate information. And if this information can apply to your life, and if you can use this information, then hopefully you will believe it or orient and adjust by verifying and identifying what God's plan is for your life. You know, one of the sayings that I've often quoted, my pastor used to say it, ritual without reality is meaningless. I'm going to say it again, ritual without reality is meaningless. Unfortunately, in organized religion, there's much ritual and very little reality. There is the ritual of baptism. There is the ritual of the Lord's Supper or the communion table. There is the ritual of confession, oftentimes, in the Catholic Church. And yet, so often, many of these things are meaningless to people because they don't understand the principle behind what's taking place. And so, they go to church, and they go through the motions, and on Sunday, they dress up, and they make their appearance, and they go through all of this ritual, saying the Apostles' Creed, maybe even making a contribution or a tithe and an offering, maybe singing and being also sang too, but never really having the reality of what it's all about. I'm very sorry that that is what organized religion has come to today, but so many people are so satisfied with the ritual that they have no reality and they seek no reality. And that's why this show is different. We don't deal with ritual. We deal with relationships. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, can be your Lord and your Savior by means of your faith if you simply would ask him. The Bible says, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And whosoever indicates you and me. And if you, like me, make a decision to accept Christ as your Savior and verify that decision by prayer, simply telling the Father you want to be saved, you're willing to accept Christ as your Savior, you can tell him you believe that Jesus Christ is his Son and you're believing that his Son died for you. You make a statement like that to God the Father, and by faith you believe it, then God does something wonderful. He puts in you a new heart, a new life. You become a brand new racial species. Not black, not white, not red, not yellow. But the Bible says if any man is in Christ, he's a new species. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. You see, the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ by faith is not ritual. It's real. The real relationship is what people don't have. And that's why so many people are going to church and seeking to improve their relationship with God by means of their appearance, by means of showing up, by means of going through certain things. You know, let me give you another illustration, see if this helps you understand that. Sometimes in the athletic arena, we have teams that win championships virtually all the time. And then we have teams that are middle of the road all the time, and then we have teams that never do anything. And we always say, well, the reason they don't do anything, they don't have the talent base or the talent level. And the reason that team wins all the time is they got a better talent base and talent level. And that's not always the case. I played on a football team my junior year in high school that had so much talent you wouldn't believe it. And we lost every game except one. Now, what is the difference here in the Christian life? And then using this metaphor or this analogy, many people never put the time and effort into learning God's plan for their life, and they are middle of the road at best believers. And in worst case scenario, they are believers, but they are immature believers, believers that never grow up, believers that never advance in the protocol plan of God. And they're satisfied with their position in Christ. I never have understood that. I, for years, have talked to people about this and have brought this point forward to people. And yet, you're not able to make people see, I'm not able to make people understand that there's something missing in their Christian life. They are satisfied with the ritual. They're completely satisfied with it. That's all they want. They simply enjoy going to church, singing a few songs, and going home. And they don't want to be bothered by a faith that demands anything more out of them. Can you be saved and do something like that? Yes, you can. Yes, you can be saved and just go to church on Sunday and go home and forget about God the rest of the week. Yes, you'll go to heaven because God is faithful. But you will never, and I repeat, you will never come to know the tremendous power and the advantages that God has given to you as a believer in Jesus Christ if you fail to verify and identify His plan for your life. If you fail to learn the procedures and the principles of the Word of God, you will go through this life as a Christian on your way to heaven, frustrated, unhappy, miserable, never knowing why everything goes wrong, never understanding what it's all about, and then you will show up at the great throne, Jesus Christ, judgment seat of Christ, the Bible calls it, and this is not where unbelievers will be. That's the great white throne of judgment. This is the judgment seat of Christ, and you will show up at the judgment seat of Christ, and you will literally be so ashamed of yourself because you will see for the first time, man, did I ever blow it. I had every opportunity in the world to grow in grace. I heard truth at every corner, but I never acted on it. I had every opportunity to do something with my life, and I never took the time to learn it. I just simply went through the ritual, and it satisfied my emotions. And you see, that's one of the problems, the emotions. When you operate by your emotions, you get in trouble. God never designed your emotions to control your life. God designed your mentality to control your life. Yes, you have a brain, and yes, you have the ability to think logic and reason. And yes, you do have emotions, and they are wonderful. I love emotions because I get emotional about certain things. I was emotional when our recent Idol winner, Taylor Hicks, won the Idol contest. That was great. That's emotional. I'm sure he was emotional. Congratulations to him for that. I get emotional when I'm outside and see a beautiful sunset or when I hear a beautiful music or a lot of different things. When I see children or grandchildren, you get emotional. But you can't live by your emotions. You have to think. You have to focus. You have to understand what's going on. And so the Bible clearly says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That means you have to learn to think like He thought. And I promise you, He didn't operate on His emotions. I showed you last week, if you listen to this radio show, how in the middle of a force 10 storm on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus was sleeping while everybody else was emotional. Everybody else was panicking. Everybody else knew they were doomed to die. But Jesus slept through it all because he did not let emotions dictate policy to His life. The secret to that was He never looked at the storm. He looked at what was in His soul. He looked at the provisions and the promises that His Father gave to Him. And He knew He wasn't going to die on a boat. He knew His destiny. And yet, unfortunately, the disciples didn't believe that. And they had to learn the hard way. And so they went through two storms, actually, the storm on the water, which was horrific, but the storm that raged in their soul. Fear is a terrible storm that people live under so often, afraid of dying, afraid of heights, afraid of depths, afraid of spiders, afraid of Whatever you're afraid of, it's a phobos, a phobia, a fear. And that's your emotion controlling your life. And you say, could I ever get over that? Yes, you can. If you'll orient and adjust to the plan of God. Now, this is why we have to be careful with organized religion. I don't care what church it is and what denomination it is. Organized religion is Satan's number one weapon. And the reason is because it numbs the mind and stimulates the emotions. I'm going to say that one more time. Listen carefully. Organized religion is Satan's number one weapon because it numbs the mind and stimulates the emotions. We are fighting a war on terror today, and it is a religious war. And many of the suicide bombers have their minds numbed to what they're doing, and they are doing it purely based on emotion. Because you could bring that right over into any church you want to bring it into the Birmingham area, into the state of Alabama, and there are Christians functioning the same way. Their mind is numb. They're not thinking. They're not functioning. They're not practicing the Christian life. And their emotions are stimulated, and they go to church. They feel good about it, and they go home, and they think, well, I've done my deed for the day. I've been to church, so everything's fine. Now, I'd like to read to you a passage of Scripture from Hebrews. We really don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but I could read to you a simple passage so that you could understand it. This comes out of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through verse 14. And this deals with the very concept that I'm talking about. Listen carefully. The writer wrote, I have much doctrine to teach you, but it is hard to explain to you because you are dull of hearing. I have much doctrine to teach you, but it's hard to explain to you because you're dull of hearing. Well, the problem is that he had been teaching the Word of God. He had been writing this letter to these Christians. And he had been going through so many great things about the person of Christ in chapter 1. And then a warning in chapter 2. And in chapter 3, he talked about giving Christ first place in your life. And he's going into the great doctrine of the high priesthood of Christ. And all of a sudden, he had to stop in chapter 5. He just stopped what he was doing. And he said, I have a lot of things and they are hard to be uttered. That doesn't mean they were hard to say them. That's not the problem. It's hard to be uttered when there's no response. People don't want to hear it. You put people to sleep. That's too technical. That's too deep. I don't have time to go. Like, I'm very busy and I just need a church that I can go to on Sunday and feel good about myself and leave and know that I've been to the house of God and I gave some money to the preacher and that's all I need. Well, the writer here says, I would love to give you the rest of the doctrine, the rest of what he was teaching. But he said, I must stop here. There's something we have to straighten out first. There's something we have to understand. You are dull of hearing, he wrote. Which means you have no desire to hear these things. There's no motivation to learn these things. There's no desire to take in this marvelous information. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? After being introduced to the tremendous doctrine that he taught in Hebrews 1, 2, 3, 4, and part of chapter 5, he went into the tremendous truth that belonged to every Christian. And then he said to them, you have no motivation and no desire to hear it or even learn it. I would call these people numb in their mind. See, verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 5 states the problem. The problem is, the writer says, you ought to be a teacher. And this is not some kind of spiritual gift of teaching. This is a concept of the church that we might call pass it on. They ought to be passing on these truths to other believers, passing on all the blessings that belong to us. Christians that have been saved 10, 20, 30 years, 40 years ought to be sharing the Word of God with other believers. They ought to be sharing the marvelous blessings they have in Christ. But they don't, because they never learned them. And that's the problem. The writer here says you have need that someone come back to you and teach you the very first principles of the Word of God again. You have to learn the ABCs again. You can't do algebra. You don't even know the ABCs. These are people that have been saved possibly for years, but still, they're babies. They haven't grown up. And this is a real concept in the Bible. This is something that we have to understand. Before you can eat solid food, before you can really metabolize deeper truths of the Word of God, you need some milk. You need some formula. And that's tragic if you've been saved a long time. You know, people that get old and aren't able to digest their food anymore and they have to begin to feed them some sort of Ensure or something like that. They can only drink liquids and they can't digest. See, that's what a Christian that's been saved a long time, but he never learned anything. He just took his Bible, went to church, went home. He never learned the principles and the procedures of the Word of God. There are a lot of people that have been saved for years, and they're unskillful in the Word of God. So if there's anything every believer needs to understand, it's the difference between spirituality and growth. They are two different concepts. Please listen to me. The worst thing you could ever think about is that I am spiritual because I do certain things. Because I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't watch R-rated movies, so I'm a spiritual Christian. That's not true. That's not what spirituality is. Spirituality is an absolute, and it comes as a result of problem-solving device number one, rebound. And I've taught it on the show many times. The Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The believer who tries to pray with unconfessed sin in his life won't get his prayer any higher than the ceiling. And the believer who goes to church, sings in the choir, makes a financial contribution, but he has or she has unconfessed sin in their life. The Holy Spirit is quenched. The Holy Spirit is grieved. And whatever they do in the name of God at church is not going to be rewardable. It's not going to be accepted because it was motivated from the energy of the flesh, not the filling of the Spirit. And you find all of this revealed at the judgment seat of Christ in 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 16, where the fire burns up the wood, hay, and stubble, but the gold, silver, and the precious stones, that endures forever. What's the difference? The gold, silver, and precious stone, those are the productions that you did under the filling of the Spirit. The wood, hay, and stubble, it's the very same thing, except this time you did it with unconfessed sin in your life. So you were carnal when you did it. See, spirituality and carnality are absolutes. But neither one of them are growth. Neither one of them are maturity. So before you can become a mature believer, you definitely have to spend time in spirituality. But maturity is related not to the filling of the Holy Spirit, but to the content of the Word of God in your soul. And that's why the writer of Hebrews had to pause and say, you have no content. There's nothing in your soul. You don't recognize this information. You need a bottle. You need the ABCs again. This is too deep for you. You're bored with this. You're dull of hearing. It's not clicking. And then he said, you can't even tell the difference between good and evil. And now most people would say, well, I can tell the difference. Good is good and evil is bad. No, it's not it at all. It doesn't have anything to do with good and bad. It has to do with Satan's plan. And so it's amazing how many people never grow up spiritually because they never take the time to learn the Word of God. All I've tried to do on this radio show is to show you the depth of the Word of God. I've tried to show you, perhaps, that you need to learn the Word of God in depth. That you need to study under a qualified pastor who knows the languages and who will give you more than an hour and a half a week of sermons. who will teach you the Word of God, maybe in the comfort of your own home, maybe by listening to a tape, maybe by reading a book, not one that you have to pay $19.95 to get. If some man, and I hate this is my pet peeve, but if some man has to sell his message, then I can guarantee you he's promoting his own ministry. If God's in it, God pays for it, and you don't have to sell anything. That's why the men that I'm associated with, and myself as well, we give our stuff away. We don't sell anything because we got it free from God, and we certainly don't own it, and we don't sell it and charge for it. So if you've been studying under some fellow that wants to sell you the information, and then you make some excuse, say, well, you know, we got to cover our expenses. Well, heck, everybody has to cover their expenses. This is how you know God's in it. If God's in it, he'll pay for it. And if God's not in it, he won't pay for it, and you better go do something else. Unfortunately, today, Christian bookstores wouldn't like to hear what I just said, would they? Because they make a lot of money selling you what people want to tell you about God. And so much of it is just birdseed. I'm sorry to say, it's just birdseed. So the biggest test in your life is for you to find a qualified pastor and sit under that man and let him teach you the Word of God consistently in your life so that you can grow in grace and grow rapidly, not at 5 miles an hour, but at 55 miles an hour. Heck, you don't want to take the rest of your life to get out of the first grade, do you? You want to grow spiritually? You want to be the man or the woman that God wants you to be? You want to verify and identify God's plan for your life and orient and adjust to that plan? Then get under the ministry of a pastor that can teach it to you. You say, I haven't found a man like that yet. Well, congratulations. They are hard to find. They are very hard to find. It's not hard to find a pastor. No, not at all. There are a lot of them around the Birmingham area, and many of them have great and wonderful churches, big, huge churches. And they know how to glad hand you and pat you on the back, and many of them are very sincere about what they're teaching you. They just don't give you enough. You know why? Because they don't have the time. There's not enough time in the day to study and teach. There's too many things that are going on, too many things that are involved. So if you show up in church on Sunday morning and there's 45 minutes of program before the pastor ever steps behind the pulpit, I'm sorry to say, you better find another place to go because you're just being entertained. You're not learning very much at all. You can't learn much in just 15 minutes. This simple 30-minute radio show drives me nuts because I'd like to talk more than 30 minutes. There's a lot to say and a lot of challenges to give, and if you will stick with me on the flat line, I'll continue to talk about this, and hopefully somewhere someone is going to say, Big Rick, you're right. I've been saved 20 years, and I don't know anything. There's very little I understand. Will you help me? And the answer is yes. I'll help you all I can. I'll tell you where to get it. I'll give you as much of it as I can. And you would not even know yourself a year from now when you start growing. It'll blow you away. Wow. Just think, back a year ago, I knew nothing. And now, look what I'm learning. I've learned those 10 problem-solving devices. I've learned how to execute the plan of God, the protocol plan of God. I've learned how to use a faith rest drill. I've gotten to my personal sense of destiny. I know now what God's agenda for me is. I've learned how to use personal, impersonal love. There's a lot of stuff out there. Very few people teaching it. I'm not a genius. I'm just an idiot. I admit that. But I had a genius teach it to me. And what I'm telling you is the truth. I hope you'll listen. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the internet at bigrick.org. Join us next week for another edition of The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes, on 960 WERC.